The Justin Robert Young Show is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports patreon.com/JURY. You guys did it! Man, tell you what, you put us over $1,000 a podcast. This means the absolute world to me. And, oh wait, I didn't do the voice. Hold on.
Hey, everybody, we're back. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Patreon.com/JURY. You've earned yourself a little respite from me plugging. So what do you say if we just go ahead and start the show?
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got two teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine. By most people's standards, but you're all right by mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Show. My name is Justin Robert Young. Oh man, I'm cracking. I just want to let everybody know I'm cracking up. This is an episode in which I might very well veer off the deep end. I might go to Splitsville. I might be in a bit of an ill-tempered mood. A couple weeks ago, I started obsessing about the word disintegrating in my head because that's what I felt like I was. There was so much pressure that either the world was putting on me or I was putting on myself that I would slowly but surely begin to particle by particle phase out of existence, that a strong wind would blow by and like so many dandelions, just bit by bit, I would be swept up into the breeze over the San Francisco Bay. And now I will say that the feelings that are roiling within me are not necessarily ones of disintegration, but rather of explosion. I got sick on Monday morning, so I wasn't able to do all the things that I normally do. I've had this weird pain in my legs and hips, and I don't know how much of all of this is psychosomatic. I've had moments in my life, it is a hereditary thing that people in my family stress out so much. We are not an outward stress family. We are an inward stress family. We compartmentalize. We store stress. We slowly but surely eventually put it one on top of the other on top of the other until there is such a gigantic bulge as we've swept it under the rug so much that it becomes the only thing that you can look at. And yet we look at this gigantic, massive, Kilimanjaro-sized lump in the middle of this rug for which we thought would conceal all of our worry, and like a Westworld robot say, doesn't look like anything to me. And so, it is with that I welcome you into my mind. It is not a well place right now. It is jagged. I am wounded. And I am lurching at anything that might come into my sphere of influence that I feel is antagonistic. I am teeth bared, claws out, ready to tear somebody's face off. It is probably at that point a very good thing that I work alone. So, I mean, aside from the sweet and innocent Dr. Bird, for whom can have no blame put on him, it's mostly just me looking in a mirror and getting angry with myself until I turn on the camera and come talk to you. So, welcome to the show. We've got a lot that we want to talk about today. The first of which is the one-man show that we have coming up in Nerdtacular, the Kickstarter that I'm also launching at Nerdtacular, and then a bunch of stories, including some about Captain Morgan, a national hero, and the fact that Phoenix, Arizona, might have finally crossed the line and have sucked so hard that it should be declared illegal by the federal government. So, where do we begin? Let's go ahead and start with this. This man is an absolute national treasure, and I don't even think it is from our nation. Let's go ahead and take a look at this story. It is brought to you by the fine journalists here at WGME News. I think this is here. Yeah, a Livermore man. So I believe if that's Livermore in upstate New York, then that is where I think it is. Livermore Falls man charged after dumping mayonnaise on somebody else. And an Alprex ad. A Livermore Falls man has been charged for allegedly dumping mayonnaise on a man. The alleged incident happened in Union Park. Police arrested 91-year-old Najee White. Police say White was attempting to intimidate the victim of an alleged assault ahead of an upcoming court case. White now faces charges including witness tampering and simple assault. White was taken to the Androscoggin County Jail in Auburn, where bail was set at $500 cash. Let's see, where is WGME? Where is WGME? Let's see where we're talking about. I think that's upstate New York. WGME. Oh, no, this is Portland, Maine. The Lewiston, Augusta, Brunswick, and Westbrook areas. This is a Mainer, this man. The national hero, of course, is the man who got mayonnaise poured on him, and he deserves restitution. This person here, obviously, just a real piece of garbage. I'm going to say that I can now effectively claim that if you are going to intimidate somebody, in fact, I feel that I've taken this case personally because I feel like I am the one for whom was being intimidated. Because if one wanted to, if I were tied up in some kind of case in which people did not want me to testify, I believe an effective way to get on my bad side or to shut me up would be to threaten me with an ever-increasing large supply of mayo that they would hope to dump on me. Sure, it would begin with simple packets that you would maybe get out of a make-your-own tuna salad set, but no, it would escalate. I feel like, you know, the organized crime bosses would say, like, meh, all right, well, let's go ahead and see if we can step things up a little bit. Maybe he didn't like the little squirt of a couple packets of mayonnaise, but then they would evolve to buckets, right? Maybe they would like one of those old pranks, precariously place a bucket of mayonnaise on top of an open door, so when I opened it, by God, there would be an absolute downpour of mayonnaise just coating me entirely. I can feel my throat constricting. I can feel every pore of my body just rejecting this coat of slimy, oily, disgusting, viscous demon seed. But no, I would persist like this man right here in Livermore Falls. I would not allow justice to be skirted out by some sort of weird mayonnaise based intimidation. No. I would insist. That I would testify. And then the night before the trial, as I was going to get some kind of sandwich, I would be shoved into an unmarked car. They would drive me to an unknown location. They would put my feet in two big buckets, and they would fill those buckets with cement, and I would know that it was my time. My time had come. This time they wouldn't offer me not to testify because they know that my will was too strong. You can't silence an honest man who knows that truth is on his side. They would be cold and calculated in their methodology. They wouldn't say anything to each other, let alone to me. I would know that my fate was sealed as they marched me into the abyss. Yes, I would look out over the edge, despite the fact that the fall in front of me would be too large to calculate. And as they pushed me over the edge, sealing my fate, I would know that I was falling into that gigantic vat of mayonnaise that they dumped into the compost heap so they could have it break down and make energy. And I would die instantly. You know, I wouldn't wait for a strangulation. I wouldn't wait for suffocation. I wouldn't wait for drowning. I feel like at that point, through the sheer power of mental brute force, I would absolutely just turn off. I would turn off my own brain. I would say that this is not a way for a man to go. If I were to be dumped into a dumpster filled with rotting mayonnaise, that is simply just a game over. There's no crying for help. There's no struggling. There is just the sweet release of death. So, there's that. I'm in a weird mood. I'm in a very weird mood right now. I mean, is that pretty clear? Is it clear that I'm in a very weird mood? I am. A lot of stuff going on, man. Let's go ahead and talk about action news here real quick. Because I'm starting to just get a little frazzled about it. We are in the last 2 weeks. We are editing the video now. I can show you guys real quick just some of the assets that we're putting together here from our Slack. Here we go. This is a look at some of the assets that we're using here. These will be all for Instagram and stuff like that. These are the outfits that we were in the video, and everything's going great. You know, we should be ready to roll. And yet now that we are this close, I believe some of the pressure is beginning to get to me. Chiefly this, you know, I've had big confidence in this show. However, in this show, in this project, but now that we are as close, you can't help but wonder exactly how it's going to do. And, you know, the last time that we did a Kickstarter, did $140,000. It is safe to assume that we want to do more. And, you know, in crunching the numbers, it seems like everything that we had going for us the first time, we have going for us this time. Really, the great unknown is exactly how much in a wave of political fervor did we benefit? How much did we benefit from launching a card game 2 years ago at this time? Because politics were as hot as they were. Now, I would say that the month that we launched it, politics was not really all that hot. During that time, we had the first Republican debate. Donald Trump had just announced that he was going to run for president about 2 weeks before we launched. And so now, I feel like this is a better game, I feel. This is a better Kickstarter, I feel. This is a better video, I feel. We have more of a reach than we had 2 years ago, I feel. And you never know. You absolutely don't know. I've had people close to me say, yeah, there's no doubt you're going to go over 140,000. And then I've had other people that are even closer to me say, you know, you'd be lucky to hit 65. Now, these are hard things to talk about, and I feel like I can talk about them with you because you guys have seen the full spectrum of me. Because it's hard to talk about numbers like these when they are we are effectively talking about salaries for people, let alone the collective worth of a card game. But as we get closer, it does weigh heavily on me. It is something that I worry about. I worry that all the stuff that I'm doing now, which is creating social media assets for the game based on stuff that we shot, you know, I worry that that's not going to be on par with everything else that we do, you know, because it's me, the podcast host, doing Photoshop and video editing and gift making and not our designers, right? It was not their job. It's their, to do this, but I worry that my work isn't up to snuff. I worry that I'm going to drop the ball in promoting it. I worry that I already dropped the ball, that the game's not as good as I think it is. So we'll keep this to a minimum, but just know that that's part of it. That's part of where I'm at. And it kind of breaks my heart because I do know that this is going to be good. I do know that I played the game a bunch of times and the game is really good. I do know that the game has only gotten better the more we play tested it. I know that we are going to get back our press deck versions and they are going to look amazing. I know that the game has just incredible design and I'm so excited for it. And yet, isn't that amazing, right? The way that our brain tricks us. The way that our ambition can often become our biggest reason for not doing things. This is something that I have always said to people that are smart, and I believe everybody listening to this show would fall into that category. Dumb people have it easy. Oh, my God. The most miserable people I know are the smartest. And very often, the reason why is because the great big brain on Brad, which can very often bring riches, love, happiness, fulfillment. It is the mech for which you can lift 10 times your weight. The matrix jack in the back of your head that can make you learn kung fu in 5 seconds. That great big processor between your ears can very often be the one that invents the boogie monster under your bed. That can very often be the one that points out in articulate, granular detail every flaw you have in your life. And I don't really know the answer to that. Except to point it out. And maybe, hopefully, the more we understand it, the better we deal with it. I see you very rightfully mocks me. I'm a miserable fuck. Give me money. I'm not miserable. You guys know I'm not miserable. I'm just in a weird mood now. You know? Maybe I am miserable, though. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe I am. Let's go through this. We got a battle. We got a battle on the high seas. And there can only be one. A lot of you people will know exactly what I'm talking about. I got this sent on Twitter here today. Here we go. Captain Morgan wins trademark lawsuit against Admiral Nelson. We read this now from the New York Post. It is an AP story written by, it is a New York Post story written by Ruth Brown. No, 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 and a bottle of rum. Rum-peddling pirate Captain Morgan is forcing a rival to walk the plank, successfully winning a lawsuit against a suspiciously similar Buccaneer-branded booze called Admiral Nelson for trademark infringement. Canada's federal court ruled June 12th that customers can easily confuse the 6-year-old upstart for the iconic spiced rum brand. And Admiral Nelson is now banned from selling bottles featuring the copycat Corsair and the country, and the country's shelves, according to the Globe and Mail. There were really unmistakable similarities to the appearance, said Mark Evans, a lawyer for Captain Morgan's parent company, Diageo. Like Captain Morgan, Admiral Nelson is depicted as a swashbuckling sailor who also sports naval attire, a cape, a sword, and a fancy facial hair. Captain Morgan's lawyers argued that the mimicry is especially egregious because the blatant, confusing historical character looks nothing like the real Admiral Nelson, who, unlike the red-haired, eye-patch-wearing freebooter on the bottle, was not a pirate at all. The real Vice Admiral Horatio Nelson, an 18th-century British naval officer, had gray hair, two eyes, and lost his right arm in battle. Captain Morgan, an iconic and beloved character, according to his lawyers, is based on the actual 17th-century pirate. The judge also ordered Admiral Nelson's Kentucky-based parent company, Haven Hill Distilleries, to pay Diageo an unspecified bounty in damages and send all of its knockoff hooch to Davy Jones' locker. Gotta love that New York Post prose. Now, it is known, Khaleesi, that I have been I've been one to commune with a character similarly based on Captain Henry James Morgan, the real privateer. So if I were to imagine how he would react, the original Captain Henry James Morgan, it would probably go a little something like, "Mer-hoy! Well, look here. If it isn't old Admiral, get the fuck out of Canada. I remember Admiral Nelson like I remember him yesterday. Well, if Admiral Nelson was always trying to get in my boat, he was always trying to bite me. He was a biter. Oh, well, I remember a tale. It was the old Admiral and I. At that point, we were thick as thieves. In fact, I'm not sure whether or not we lived during the same time period. I'm kind of just freestyling this one. I'm very drunk. I'm Captain Morgan, by the way. So it was me and the Admiral, see? We were on the high seas. And I lifted my sword and said, "Yo-ho-ho." And he lifted his sword and said, "Yo-ho-ho" as well. I said, "Wait a minute. What the fuck, Admiral?" He said, "I'm the Admiral. I'm just trying to you know, let everybody know that we should yo-ho some hoes." I said, "All right. You listen here. We might be pirates. Well, I'm a pirate. You're an admiral. But you one-armed, two-eyed weirdo, you're going to listen here, and you're going to listen good. Because the ultimate test of our supremacy will be years, if not decades, if not centuries, after we die. I'm not really clear on the timeline here. After both of our reputations are co-opted and perverted to selling weird, not good rum, we will then battle in the only battlefield that matters for us privateers. Yes, a Canadian court, wherein our trademark licenses will trade sabers. We will swashbuckle our ways through the courts, and whomever is the true victor will be decided in this antiseptic trademark court in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Then and only then will we know who truly ruled the high seas." And then I punched him. And I said, "Psych, we decided right now." Oh, we wrestled. We wrestled as far as the eye could see, which was pretty much just the boat because it was raining really hard. Oh, I kicked his ass. Why, well, you have no idea how much I just whipped his monkey face because he had only one arm and he was not really good at kickboxing. Anyway, That's my official statement. In 2017, it's me, a caricature of the real Henry James Morgan. Come at me, fuckos! Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There we go. That is a statement from the real parody of Captain Henry James Morgan. Certainly not a parody of the bottle of rum for which adorns the name Captain Morgan. It is a legally distinct parody of the real historical character, Captain Henry James Morgan. That's it, and that's all. There is no reference. In fact, his favorite saying is, I'm not a bottle of rum. He's not a bottle of rum. He's based on the real Henry James Morgan. Just in case anybody was wondering or listening from Diageo Incorporated, the gigantic spirits-based powerhouse. Unless you're interested in licensing the character for promotion of Captain Morgan, in that case, we would have to come to a legally distinct agreement that I was not parodying the character that has been fictionally created for the bottles of rum, but rather that I am basing all of this caricature on Captain Henry James Morgan. So there we go. Just so everybody is clear, we are not doing a character of, what do you mean? I'm just saying, Captain Morgan, that we are not doing, well, I'm not a bottle of rum. Well, I know you're not a bottle of rum, Captain. I'm just trying to make sure that we have legal distinction. Legal distinction. You mean diction? Like speaking? Well, maybe. It's what your mom was using. Diction? My mom is well-spoken? Yeah. Mom's really well-spoken with my diction in her mouth. But you taught my mom how to speak with elocution. What? I'm Captain Henry James Morgan. This bit's over. Oh, there we go. Here he goes, off into the sea and into all of our hearts, Captain Henry James Morgan. By the way, Admiral Nelson's got to be older than 6 years, right? It says that he's been around for 6 years, maybe in Canada. But Admiral Nelson has to have been around for Admiral Nelson Rum. I remember Admiral Nelson running rum in high school. I remember Admiral Nelson Rum in college. Let's see. Here we go. Horatio Nelson, of course, was a real person. Well, let's see if we can find the Wikipedia page for Admiral Nelson Rum. Because it had to be around. Wait a minute. Hold on. The first thing that comes up when you search Wikipedia for Admiral Nelson Rum is a Wikipedia article called Sucking the Monkey. Sucking the Monkey. I'm not kidding. In the Royal Navy, sucking the monkey, bleeding the monkey, or tapping the admiral was the practice of sucking liquor from a cask through a straw. This usually involved making a small hole with a gimlet in a keg barrel or using a straw to suck out the contents. It was known for people to die from alcohol poisoning from this practice. Admiral Nelson was killed in the Battle of Trafalgar by a French sniper while topside his ship, Victory. Following the victory at the Battle of Trafalgar, Horatio Nelson's body was preserved in a cask of brandy or rum to allow transport back to England. Upon arrival, however, the story goes that the cask was opened and found to be empty of brandy and rum. The pickled body was removed, and upon inspection, it was discovered that the sailors had drilled holes in the bottom of the cask and drank all the brandy. Thus, this tale preserves as the basis of the term Nelson's blood being used to describe brandy and rum. It also serves as the basis for the term tapping the admiral, being used to describe surreptitiously sucking liquor from a cask through a straw. The details of this story are disputed, as many historians claim the cask contained French brandy, while others claim instead the term originated from a toast to Admiral Nelson. Variations of this story involving different notable corpses and different spirits have been in circulation for many years. The official record states that merely that the bottle was placed in refined spirits and does not go into further detail. Now that is a Wikipedia find. That is a Wikipedia find. Oh my God. Sucking the monkey? I don't even know what we were looking for. Oh, Admiral Nelson spiced rum. Yeah, the origin of Admiral Nelson spiced rum. That's what we were looking for. And the first thing that comes up is sucking the monkey. I don't, wait, hold on. Does Admiral Nelson not have a Wikipedia entry? Oh my God. I guess maybe it is only 6 years old. How do I have a Wikipedia entry and Admiral Nelson's rum does not? That's a shock. That's amazing. It does. Horatio Nelson? No, the real guy has a thing, but not the rum. The Nelson effect. Wait, so did I not drink Admiral Nelson rum when I was in high school? Is it really only 6 years old, Admiral Nelson? What the hell? I could have. Oh man, does anybody else remember drinking Admiral Nelson rum more than 6 years ago? Because it was like the original knockoff liquor that I remember. Yeah, people are saying NSFW show is older than this rum. The Mandela Effect rum. Oh my God. This is a Bernstein Bears thing. Holy shit. Dude, you guys have no idea how much. I feel like I had a friend who had the last name Nelson. And I feel like that's why I always had a connection to. Oh my God. I actually feel like this is something that's like really screwing with me. This is, if it's only. Welcome to the real world, fucko. All right, Captain Morgan. Knock it off.
This old upstart's only 6 years old.
Let's get to something that we can all agree on, and that is Phoenix being just not a place suitable for human life. This year from USA Today, an article written today. Dateline Phoenix, the extreme heat forecast in Phoenix on Tuesday has caused the cancellation of 20 American Airlines flights out of Sky Harbor International Airport. According to a statement from American Airlines, the American Eagle regional flights use the Bombardier CRJ aircraft, which has maximum operating temperature of 118 degrees. Tuesday's forecast for Phoenix included a high of 120 degrees, and the flights that are affected were to take off between 3 and 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Customers affected were told to contact American Airlines for rebooking options or to request a refund. Extreme heat affects a plane's ability to take off. Hot air is less dense than cold air, and the hotter the temperature, the more speed a plane needs to lift off. A runway might not be long enough to allow a plane to achieve necessary extra speed. American Airlines alerted travelers Saturday about the heat wave and recommended they change any flight scheduled to arrive or depart between 3 and 6 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Flight changes would be free of charge. This is reminiscent of Phoenix's record-setting high temperatures of 122 degrees on June 26, 1990, which grounded some airlines for the day. Larger jets such as Airbus and Boeing aren't expected to be affected by this week's temperature. So this is literally like, this is just math. This is just, we only have X amount of runway. It's too hot to get lift, so we're just going to go ahead and preemptively cancel the flights. And only for the smaller planes, which will take more to get off, or I guess have less thrust available to them. I can't imagine how annoyed I'd be. Because I used to connect a lot with those flights through Phoenix back when US Air used to be a part of Star Alliance and I was flying with Star Alliance a lot. I can't imagine how annoyed. Because I always hated getting stuck in Phoenix. The Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, kind of a booty airport. It's not really good. It's old. It has one of the silliest carpets that I've ever seen in my entire life. Because the carpet at Phoenix Sky Harbor are either, they can only be one of two things. They are either planes in a tailspin about to crash or planes in a toilet, a massive toilet that are being flushed. Musical Gavin says, you know you spent way too much time in an airport when you can comment on the carpet. It's actually got a famous carpet. Let me show it to you guys. All right, here we go. Quirky airport carpets. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. Yahoo search is just awful. I got to change this. Search for images here. Here we go. All right. Look at this here, folks. Come on. Come on. Tell me this isn't ridiculous. I guess the most charitable way that you can describe it is that you are watching a very careful airport as it I guess these are supposed to be planes that are very safely circling the airport. This is what it looks like. Like, or maybe they are all just, like, they're mating or something. All these planes are buzzing around. Like, when do you ever want to see two planes in the air at the same time? Like, I don't even get this. How is this even calming? Like, you want a calming carpet in the airport, right? But it does. It looks like it's flushing a bunch of airplanes down a massive toilet. Or they're all going to die. And we're not talking about one plane here, folks. No, no, no. Look at this. Dozens, hundreds, thousands of planes throughout this airport. And then, meanwhile, you're sitting there trying to sip on your Tom Collins and you're being explained that there will be no flying out of Phoenix today. And since you have the 3 o'clock flight that is the last of the 1 o'clock, the 2 o'clock, and the 3 o'clock to get canceled, you, my friend, are going to be spending the night in Phoenix. And it will be a balmy 111 degrees. Musical Chemist says, Justin R. Young, you don't drink enough Admiral Nelson to understand the carpet. Probably not. And apparently I've never drank enough Admiral Nelson because Admiral Nelson doesn't exist. Admiral Nelson was invented by the media. Admiral Nelson was invented by George Soros and the Build-A-Bear Convention so as to control your mind. There's an info war going on here, ladies and gentlemen. My interview with Megyn Kelly drew less than a Full House rerun. Let's talk about something fun. In 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, I'll be in Nurtacular. Hopefully, I'll see a lot of you there. My one-man show 2 years ago went over so well with Scott Johnson. And so I'll be doing a new one. I mentioned last week that the concept behind it would be OPP, Other People's Pain. Instead of me doing a monologue, I'm going to bring up three different people from the audience. And I'm going to have them read an embarrassing story that has been submitted by listeners to this show. It'll be anonymous. You will not be identified. You do not need to be there. This is an experiment to find out if I charge that people need to read these stories with the kind of passion as if they were their own. Do we get it any different than if somebody is telling their own story? I.e., can we linger a little bit more on some of the elements that are embarrassing? Do we feel anything different? It's an experiment. It'll probably fail. But it'll be fun because we have got some doozies of stories, and they are just spectacular. So go ahead. Keep sending them in for the next week and a half. Just go ahead and write your most embarrassing story to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put OPP in the subject line. Again, OPP in the subject line. And I will put together the best three. I will edit them so they are the best versions of your story possible. And then I will present them to our three readers during the show. However, there has been a bit of a side effect to this, because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this show is fairly email dependent. And so, while I've gotten a wealth of amazing emails for OPP, I have gotten precious few emails for the show itself. So, we will do our best to read them right now. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com, again, is where you can write in emails for the show, but jury in that subject line, so I know where they go. Paul writes, replying to your on-air question about whether our big weekly Steak and Shake group tipped well, not really. So this is Paul who was talking about, he went to the Steak and Shake that I had mentioned in my last show, or the last show previous to this one, previous to the one previous show 2 weeks ago. And mentioned that him and his friends used to go to a Steak and Shake and just hang out. They would just talk all the live long night. I said, well, hopefully, despite the fact that most of your people were taking up a nine top and yet didn't tip all that well, or sorry, didn't buy a lot of food, hopefully at least you guys tipped well. He says, about that, not really. I was one of the few who did order food, and I personally tried to overtip to compensate, but I wasn't going to be able to make up for that many people. On the other hand, one of the servers we frequently had early on ended up dating my sister for a while and became very much a part of our weekly Steak and Shake outings once he got a job somewhere else. So I guess he must not have hated us too much. Yeah. I guess really the one big vector that I would throw in there is, was the rest of the restaurant packed? Because if the rest of the restaurant's empty, then fine. It's a nine top. Nobody buys anything. But, you know, not like anybody else is going to be in there anyway. So who cares? If the restaurant was packed around you and there was a wait while you were there with 15 people, only three of which were eating, and nobody else was tipping, then you're assholes. But if the server wound up, you know, banging your sister and hanging out, then hell, you know, you couldn't have done too much wrong. And then we get this email from Swinging Listener. Swinging Listener writes, "Hi, Justin. I may have drunk emailed a couple months ago about my wife and I getting freaky at Nerdtacular. So here is a follow-up email with contact info for other attendees who want to get their freak on as well. My kick name, K-I-K name, is Man of the People 42. So if anyone's interested, just kick me." So let me explain what is happening here for those who might not be aware. There are people that are going to Nerdtacular, one of my favorite conventions, if not my favorite convention of all time. Convention that I have enjoyed, that I've been very, very, that has been very, very good to me, and that I treasure being a small part of. He is just putting it out there that him and his wife like to play around. They are a member of the lifestyle, I believe the proper nomenclature has it. And they want to let you know that if, for whatever reason, cons are a notorious fuck haven. Okay? That's a fact. Dragon Con's got a lot of this reputation. You got a lot of emotions running high. You got a lot of oxytocin as everybody feels connected to each other. And many times that manifests, that excitement manifests south of the border. So, if there is a healthy, consensual, swinging relationship to be minted by way of this show, then please feel free to dial up Man of the People 42 on Kick. And if there is a massive orgy spawned in part by this show, then all I'm asking is that in the throes of passion, somebody yells, "Please don't die." That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. In fact, the more lines you can work into the orgy, the better. Like, you know, somebody first undresses and you just say, "Mahoy." Right? The more that we can work in jokes to this podcast while people are having sex, the happier I will be. So there we go. That's all I ask. If you're going to take part in the Nerdtacular orgy with Man of the People 42 on Kick, then just make sure that, like, and I mean, like, when there's no going back, when people are mid-thrust, you know, because you can't ruin the mood when the mood is all there is. Just a little more. Nothing will make me happier than if that goes any other way. If it's like, "Oh my God, somebody did the mahoy during our orgy and it made everybody laugh." Greatest email to this show ever. "Somebody did the mahoy during the orgy and it ruined the orgy." Best email ever. That's all I ask. Man of the People 42 on Kick if you want to get in on that. Hey, one real quick thing. The band that I'm playing now, is a band called the Spinto Band. As far as I know, they have not toured or played live shows in many, many, many years. And I just saw on Twitter that they are playing shows in Boston in Alston and then Boston proper. I would love it if some Diamond Club represented, if people who got turned on to this Pinto Band's music based on this show. I will not be able to go because I'm not on that side of the country, but if there's any jury listeners in the Boston area, I would love if somebody went, because I think they are a great live show. When I saw them oh so many years ago, and I think that they would be a great live show now. But that about wraps it up for this edition of the program. Thank you guys for helping me weather my sour mood. I want to thank everybody who submitted stories and emails. Of course, remember, you can email into the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, Twitter and Instagram at justinryoung.com, hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. That about wraps it up for this edition of the program. My name is Justin Robert Young, reminding you to please don't say.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.